Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Survivor 44 Episode 4 recap. And Sarah is gone. We had our first tribe swap, in air quotes, since the new era of Survivor began post-COVID. So that was kind of nice to see. We'll talk all about that. They all did, in fact, get idols. Who would have thunk it? I raised my hand because I would have thunk it. I brought that up on the Predictions and Power Rankings with Will and Alexa. And Alexa, how are you feeling about the fact that I called that, unfortunately?
You know what's funny? I remember so vividly you said that, and Will and I were like, they couldn't. They wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, they're expiration idols, but – and I actually see our good friend Peridium, mildly defends it and makes a fair point of this is for every person who was swap screwed. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe swap two people. Maybe swap half the tribe to make it a little more fair. I just – oh, that was awful.
It's very annoying. And I had said, I thought that they were going to do something like this, but then I also gave the benefit of the doubt to production on this and said that they were going to make them work for it. They absolutely did not make them work for it. I mean, they walked into the strip club throwing singles. They were just like, here you go. Forget it. It's over. I mean, this was crazy though. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm happy for Josh.
Walk onto a journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm happy for Josh because, like, this would have been bullshit if Josh goes home this way. He doesn't have an idol. We've seen this happen before. I mean, we saw it happen with Aaron and then Sharia back in China, and it was annoying, but at least there were two people. That was just kind of – that was a different era of Survivor where there weren't as many idols, and also in that season, James was holding everything, so that didn't help. But it was a different era. In this new era where there's so much stuff around, I mean – temporary idols, in my opinion, and I've said this before, I actually think are so much more advantageous than a regular idol. Because with
especially
a temporary
in, like,
idol,
this kind of game right now,
just play it just every play time. It. I would never not play a temporary idol the first chance I can play it. I never would hold on to it.
Yeah. And they really work for the pre-merge where there's like, there's a lot of things moving around. People have votes for one episode. They don't for the next. A temporary idol kind of fits with that chaos. I think it's a little ridiculous that half the season or half the cast has idols right now. And it's also, I feel like, I mean, the players are obviously excited, but like my lowest point of this episode was Carson, Jamie, and Josh walking onto their sections and reading their parchments to each other, reading the parchments to us. I just found that to be like the epitome of why nobody has any control in this game anymore. Mm-hmm. They walked in, were immediately gifted idols. And you even hear, I think it was Josh, it might've been Carson saying like, oh yeah, because I like prepared in advance, I'm not going to risk my vote. Well, you don't even have to worry about that because you're required to pull out of this bag. And yeah, it was just, the game has changed. Like they walked up there and they were vessels for this game to happen. And that is very wrong.
Yeah. And I've said this on podcasts in the past. I think it was last season, or maybe it was the season before, but it's becoming more of a game show than a reality show. And there is a very big difference between a game show and a reality show.
Boris, get the Oprah meme of everyone gets an idol, literally.
Seriously, though. And I just feel like we are at the point where it's become a game show. And the difference between reality TV and game show is like when you watch a game show, if you go sit down and watch Lingo, right? Like, you know that there's going to be things that are thrown in there to screw you over and flip you off and whatever. It doesn't matter because they're all going to be there for a short amount of time. And the goal is just make as much money and have fun for a half hour of entertainment. Yeah. But a reality show is supposed to be more like about the experience and what's going on out there and the interpersonal interactions. Because if you sit down and watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, name the person who won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire the first time ever. You can't do it. I mean, I remember the guy calling his dad and be like, "Dad, I just won $1 million before he even answered the question. It was a great moment in TV history. But you don't remember his name. Remember Richard Hatch's name. Why? Because you have Richard Hatch. You learned everything about him along his journey. This guy for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, he's on 1 hour of TV and it was 43 minutes with commercials. You know, like that's all it was. And this is starting to feel that way where it's okay. Who is Josh? Josh is the guy who got the temporary idol and switched tribes. He's nothing more than that. And I feel like that's where it's going, getting into like a dangerous thing a little bit here. And everybody's throwing John Carpenter. I didn't realize his name was John Carpenter. That's a lot easier to remember because okay, he made The Thing and everything like that. So.
But every person who has gone home, pretty much every person, and like people have gone home for reasons. Claire went, like Claire and Helen, Maddie, like there were reasons that they went home. But they also were like the lowest common denominator of humans that could be voted out. Mm-hmm. Not like we must get rid of Claire or I want to get rid of Maddie to weaken this person. That's just not there's six people on tribes and two people that can be vote that have options to be voted for. So it's just that's really frustrating. And that really sucks for Sarah because I like why was Sarah chosen? Sarah has this inheritance advantage that this poor thing thinks she went home with an idol. Like that's how ridiculous this whole thing is. And it is pretty funny, but like, why did Sarah go home?
Well, here's my question. I have a more important question. If you think that's a real idol and Josh walks up there and plays his real idol, why are you not playing your idol? I mean, I think that is ludicrous because here's my thing. Yes, you've been telling Josh the whole time, vote for Carolyn, vote for Carolyn, vote for Carolyn, vote for Carolyn.
That's a really good point.
But if Josh stands up and plays his idol, he is signaling that he does not trust any of you. So if you're Sarah, you have to assume he's not voting for Carolyn. He's voting for you or Jam Jam. So play your idol to play it safe. It doesn't make a difference. And now in our chat over on the Discord for the patrons, I think it was Corwin had said, oh, it's a shame we're not going to end up seeing what ends up happening with the inheritance advantage. You better believe that Survivor production will be putting this in somebody's water bottle to make sure that they go to take a sip and it falls out and hits their tooth. I mean, this is definitely going to still be in the game. I would be shocked if it's not, but it doesn't make sense to me that Sarah didn't play her idol. So part of me doesn't feel that bad for Sarah.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that because it's false.
Yeah. And here's Andrew Pratt. Like she even had the confessional saying she would play the fake. So why didn't she play the fake?
Yeah, that's a really good point, especially because like she knows that he wasn't going to vote for Carolyn. That's a really good point.
Inheritance will be.
Oh my God, it's got to be Matthew Sling. Not to immediately punt to the other tribe, but I am struggling. I never really felt bad because like what Matthew fell because of his own decisions, but I'm a little like we're switching back and forth on the swing a lot, and I'm just on the swing. On the sling a lot. And it's just, I don't know. I don't want to be annoyed, but I'm annoyed.
I agree. And I wonder, I mean, they had that clip in the preview of him being like, I worked so hard, but every morning I wake up in a lot of pain. I don't think he's going to leave, but that is a very interesting confessional to put into that, like into this, like into a preview. Because it didn't seem like a normal confessional or like he was having a conversation with people on his tribe. Like it felt a little like orally. I always struggle to differentiate between orally and aurally. A-U-R-A-L-Y, two L. I felt like that was distant. That didn't feel like a normal confessional and it didn't feel like a conversation. So I do wonder if he pops it out again and that is an actual confessional from him sitting there talking to a doctor or something like that and just being so frustrated. I still think we're pretty invested in Matthew. So unless they're planning on having Matthew and Brandon come back like Bobby John and Stephanie and head up tribes next season, I don't think somebody keep that clip and put it in the loop because it's going to end up coming true. But I just feel like I agree with you. I feel like there's been a lot of emphasis on it. And part of me is how bad is this really? And the other part of me is,
why can he take it off half the time?
Yeah.
And I think that is a really good point because even his confessional tonight with like the conversation he has with Carson, again, I don't know what he's trying to gain out of it because he's got Carson as this alliance member because he told him something that he is, that is a lie that's going to come out at some point. So he didn't even, he didn't tell Carson, I gave Jamie this fake. He didn't tell him that he has an idol. I just feel like this lie is getting bigger and bigger, and it is going to explode. And Jamie's either going to get voted out or be pissed, and Carson's going to be very confused.
So I have a take on this that may be the unpopular take, but this was around the time where I had my Gabler take that was unpopular, and it was correct, and I was very stoked. I actually think Matthew telling Carson is a good move for a couple reasons, and here's my reasoning why.
Go for it.
Number one, Matthew's not actually revealing real information. Mm-hmm. So if he does, if Carson does say to anybody, Jamie has the idol, Matthew's the only one who knows it's fake. And then Matthew can be like, look, Jamie told me, I didn't tell all of you. She told me in confidence. I wanted to keep my word to her, but I told Carson to try to kind of build a bond with him so that he could come in. They might not like that story, but I think it's okay. And he has an out. The other reason why I like this is, though, if word gets back to Matthew that Jamie has an idol, Matthew knows he can't trust Carson. And it doesn't hurt Matthew because he still has the real idol. So if people decide that they're going to come after Matthew for spilling to Carson, Matthew still has his idol to play. Now, if word never gets around, Matthew now knows I can actually totally trust Carson because he hasn't said anything about this information I gave him. I want to go to the end of the game with him because Jamie doesn't seem like she's told anybody else. So right now, Matthew's trying to find those he feels he who are a little bit weaker than him from a social standpoint, who feel they need him more. And that's why he went to Jamie. And I think that's why he went to Carson here. So I actually don't mind move, but I do think, because we know Carson, I think it's going to bite him in the ass. I don't think it would have bitten him in the, like, if we didn't know Carson and we were seeing it from the perspective of somebody on the island, that would be a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I feel like, but actually sticking with that, what do you think about Carson kind of throwing Jam Jam under the bus there? We get a different angle of Jam Jam today.
Jam Jam didn't get a good episode tonight. Because we got that from Carson. And then we also, I don't know how much Carolyn was acting and how much Carolyn was being sincere at that tribal council, because she ultimately did vote for Sarah. So part of her must have felt uncomfortable enough.
I think that was real.
Yeah, I think she wanted to get Sarah out of the game because she was worried Jam Jam and Sarah were going to be the two to her one if Josh went home tonight. Jam Jam came out looking bad, and he was floored that this vote went the way it did.
Yeah. And I think you see this a lot with the person who's just always the decoy vote. They typically do tend to be the person who's on the bottom. And so therefore that person usually can't do anything about the fact that they're always the decoy vote, which is why it was so interesting that this was Carolyn, because, like, yes, it's quote unquote obvious, but she, by my understanding, she and Jam Jam were running the show together and Sarah was very secondary. Yeah. So maybe it was one of those things where they didn't go to tribal last week, so they were able to rebond a little bit. But I think it sounds like they took Carolyn for granted a little bit. And again, it's working for her because there's probably even less of an assumption that she is an idol now. And she did that X thing, which for what it's worth, really worked. Mm-hmm. That was very Danny-esque of her, and she pulled it off. So I think she's just deeply underestimated. I don't know. I'm curious what's going to happen because I don't know if Jam Jam is going to like this.
Yeah. And so I agree with you. So I think the Survivor community as a whole, and I think we've earned this right, but has become a bit of a glass half empty kind of community because there has been so much negativity and there's just been things that have pissed us off and everything like that. I know a lot of the conversation on the Twitter sphere and everything like that was about three women voted out in a row. And now we have four because Sarah went home. Mm-hmm. But I think rather than focusing on the negative of something like that, I think the positive is what needs to be focused on. And right now the positive is Carolyn is the power player of the show. She's not just the power player on Tika. She is the most powerful player in the game of Survivor right now. When she made that red X thing, I was floored because I'm underestimating Carolyn as a viewer, and I'm not even out there on the island with her. So what would Carolyn be doing to me if I was on the island with her? She'd be running circles around me, and I think I have a pretty good understanding of this game. I think I have a pretty good feel for when somebody's lying to me and when they're not lying to me, even though obviously when you're in Survivor, it's harder to figure out. Yeah. I feel like I have a good read on people. And Carolyn just shocked me with doing that.
Yeah.
And I actually was aggravated. So thank you, Carolyn. I was aggravated when I saw the red X because I said, why can't production just let it alone? Like, here's what they were going to do on day three. They have to walk in and they put a red X so people look at it and whatever. And then when I found out it was Carolyn, I was like, okay, I'm in on this. Mm-hmm. And then for her to put the X under the stump, and she hid that perfectly, the way production
would right happen. Where they would have put it.
And especially, Alexa, you're just far enough into the game that somebody like Sarah, who I think is a very smart person, would buy into that production's getting impatient and wants this idol found. Because yeah. we've seen it happen so many seasons now. This was great timing. This was great execution. Carolyn's playing the game the best out of anybody out there. But I always come back to this. How does Carolyn keep her emotion out of it to continue playing at such a high level? Because I think tonight, even though it worked in her favor, I think we saw a little bit of more emotional Carolyn start performing at Tribal Council than logical Carolyn. Because for everybody who will rip Carolyn throughout the show or throughout like whatever, she is very logical. She's just yeah. logical in a way that we're not used to seeing. She's not game body. She's all over the place, but she's logical.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really curious to see what's going to come of her and Jam Jam, because kind of like we said, I thought that they were super tight and, you know, they kind of signaled to us that these fights come up a lot. I think Sarah said that like, oh yeah, they're doing this again, but which I totally makes sense. They're probably the two largest personalities on the show who also happen to be alliance members on the same tribe. But it will be interesting to see how personally he takes it and how personally she takes it now that she sort of got the upper hand on it. I imagine being the decoy vote is something that's really hard to not take personally, because as a viewer, you know that it typically does mean that they don't mind you going home. Mm-hmm. But this is still very early. Like, alliances are going to keep shifting. I think Carolyn is the way that she is probably is really good for modern day Survivor, because there aren't really real alliances anymore. Like, Cody and Jesse are the exception to the rule, you know? So maybe it would work for her to kind of have this little trust cluster with Josh and then move on whenever they get to the merge. But it is going to be really interesting. I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, I am too. And I honestly don't know if – I still don't feel – now I feel even worse for Josh, right? Because he's on a three-person tribe, and I think Carolyn and Jam Jam are going to go back together. I think – Carolyn, more of Carolyn's problem was that Sarah was stealing her Jam Jam. I think that was more of the issue mm-hmm. there. And I really believe that. I think that she was growing concerned that she was going to be the third and she was going to be genied, or she was going to be whatever, whoever she wants to use as a comparison. I think she was smart enough to see that coming. She knew Josh has an idol. So take advantage of this moment. Make sure that you put yourself in position to be the swing vote. Carolyn leaves tonight's episode in the middle of Josh and Jam Jam. Josh and Jam Jam are never going to work together after everything they did in this episode. They're not going to work together.
It seems like next week they're going to be snitting at
each
other.
The bitch face or something like that, Jam Jam says about Josh?
Yeah.
But Carolyn comes out smelling like roses. I mean, she's Andy Dufresne. She's crawling through shit to smell like a free person. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so I love the game Carolyn's playing. I love that she is using things that production would do to her advantage, and she's making it very believable. And somebody in here, where was it? They just put it in here. It was Caitlin Burchart. Carolyn is quirky, but she's not an idiot. And I think a lot of people came into this show, viewers and players, thinking she's not quirky, she's an idiot. But yeah. It's clearly the opposite, which is where I think this is great. I'm really enjoying watching Carolyn play the game. And I think it was tonight, even though it came out as a 2-2 and Josh ended up playing his idol and everything like that, it was Carolyn's decision who was going to go home. Because if she wanted Jam Jam out of the game, She could have told Josh, let's vote for Jam Jam. But she told Josh to vote for Sarah. And she could have easily thrown another vote over at Jam Jam to try to get a 1-1 tie with Josh playing the idol and all of that stuff. She wanted Sarah out, and that's who went home. Carolyn's in control of that tribe, not Jam Jam. I never thought I'd say those words.
And I mean, this definitely factored into her decision. Sarah, well, actually, I don't think she knew that it was Sarah, but she probably knew that she probably figured out that it was Sarah who took her fake idol, because I assume that Jaren Jan would have told Carolyn because of how close they are. So she kind of just completely gets rid of that situation. Her plot worked. I'm really curious to see what's going to move forward. I'm really excited for her. I agree with you. Like, I do feel for Josh because he's in a bad situation, but I don't love the way he's playing. I don't think he's playing a great game. The surgeon thing, first of all, when Sarah said that, I was like, what an astute observation. How did you figure it out? And then when she mentioned, he talked about needing steady hands in a challenge, that's pretty sloppy on Josh's part. And did you notice the tribal council, Jam Jam and Carolyn are like going at it, and unprovoked, Josh says, man, I'm really happy they're fighting.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Let this happen. So I'm good thing he had that idol. He was going to go home anyway, but he's not really doing himself any favors either.
No, I totally, totally agree with you. I think that Josh kind of overplayed his hand a little bit tonight, and it worked. See, I think Josh is in a very dangerous position because he thinks things went his way a lot more than they went tonight. He thinks that everything played out exactly how he wanted it to play out, when in reality, that's not what happened tonight.
Yeah, and so that's what last week, too. He was like, I was in such a good position. I was a swing vote, and his whole tribe wants him out.
Well, and here's my question to you. Who do you think ultimately goes home if Josh doesn't play his idol? Do you think Carolyn flips and votes with Jam Jam, or do you think Jam Jam flips and votes with Carolyn so as to not have to draw rocks or something? Or I guess they would have done fire in this situation, but either way, what do you think would have happened there? Do you think they would have flipped do you think one of them would have flipped the vote? Because I could see Carolyn saying, Jam Jam, I don't trust you. I'm not changing.
Yeah, I bet they would flip it. Yeah, I bet someone would. It just seems like not the right people to go to a tie, you know?
Yeah, true.
Like, no one felt that strongly about anyone in my mind.
I agree. And when I look at this, like, again, when you're Josh, you have a time limit on your idol. When everybody comes together as one tribe and they're living on the same beach, and they wouldn't call it a merge, but whatever, I think it's going to be a merge, you might never go back to tribal council. So you just play it at the first one every time. And I think now it's too strong of an idol right now for all three of them, because are there even going to be three tribal councils before the merge? So yeah, like,
probably not. I know. Why did they say like hanging out on the same beach? I was like, what's happening?
Well, yeah. If Carson goes to tribal, he's got to play his right away. And if who was the other one? Jamie goes, she's got to play hers right away. Yeah. I mean,
to be the last one before, right? That's kind of the standard. There's 13 people left.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right now there's 13. So maybe one more next week or the week after.
Yeah, next week's a normal vote. And then they do the earn the merge with, but the 12, 6 and 6. I don't, who knows? It feels like at this point, it's like, we voted out two people. We're going to need to go to the merge.
And they are going to do the earn the merge again, right? Like, that's confirmed or no?
I think so. They're not doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think that is very much here to stay, for better or for worse.
All right, let's jump over to a different tribe here, and let's talk about green first. So everybody, and this is where I feel even worse for Josh and think Josh is really toast here. Everybody on green was ready to vote Josh out before Josh ended up actually being the one who swapped
before the episode even like
I know
started. My God,
he was done. He had no chance. They were ready to get rid of him. They wanted nothing to do with him anymore. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah.
So Josh is thinking he's in a good spot. He's not in a good spot. So again, we're kind of getting Dodo for Josh, which is, you know, somebody's always got to fit into that role, unfortunately. And last year it was the winner of the show. So maybe Josh wins. But I do think that with Matt, Danny, Franny, and Heidi, I think that's a solid four. The problem is, like they were saying, what about with Jamie with her idol and everything like that? Now Jamie comes out and Danny went through her bag and Danny's looking and says, no, she doesn't have an idol. Jamie has a real idol and a fake idol. So now my question is, and obviously she'd play the temp one first, which is a real one, so she'd be safe. But I do wonder, what if she were to play the fake idol and Jeff says this is not an idol? Could she just stand up again and be like, well, here's a real one? Obviously, she's going to play the temp one first, but would that happen?
I think it could. I don't see why she couldn't. I mean, people have played multiple idols before, so that would be unbelievable if that's the way it went. I would love to watch that. Like you said, I don't think it would, because that's the temporary one makes more sense. But I'm usually not one for like, ooh, do it for the good TV. But that actually sounds like that'd be fantastic to watch, because she'd be safe and so confused.
Yeah, I totally agree. It would be fun, but it's not going to happen. It's just something that I thought about that tonight, because I'm like, we've never seen somebody play a fake idol, then play a real idol.
Yeah. No, I don't think we ever have.
That's how many idols there are.
What was that?
That's how many idols there are.
Yeah, seriously. Well, there's definitely a lot of interesting opportunities for, like, I thought when Danny was going to look through Jamie's bag, I thought he was going to find her fake idol that would potentially match. Oh no, but her fake idol is made from Matt, so never mind. But we're getting closer to some fake idols matching up with real idols.
Yeah. And somebody people in the chat here are saying Rick did it in Edge of Extinction, which is a season I kind of forget about.
I truly have no recollection.
I don't remember him doing it. So he played a fake one, then played a real one at the same tribal council. I don't remember that, but
did he?
Okay. No, but yeah, so you're talking about the idols thing, and Carolyn is now the first person to see what another tribe's idol looks like, and she didn't actually end up talking about that. So they're saying he did it to Ron. So that's when Ron went home. Poor Ron.
Literally, what happened in this season?
Also, why do people remember that? It's Edge of Extinction. But okay. So I'm just going to run through this real quick, because Mike Bloom put out a very useful tweet. Real idols: Carolyn, Danny, and Matthew. Fake idols: Brandon, but he knows his is fake. Sarah, Matt, and Jamie. Obviously, Sarah's gone, but Matt and Jamie don't know that theirs are fake. Temporary idols are Carson, Josh, and Jamie. Obviously, Josh just used his, so that's done. Sarah had the inheritance advantage, which will now be gifted to somebody.
Oh, really?
No. I'm just saying production's going to do that. And then Lauren has an extra vote. So those are all of the things right there. So it's a
this
lot.
This is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. They did the lower third of Jamie, like one fake idol and one temporary idol. And like we pointed out, like, remember last season, Owen listed out every single advantage and it took up the whole TV screen.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. There's no other word I have for it.
Well, and it's like, it's one of those where words are starting to lose meaning, right? When Nicola would call me out for saying not for nothing, I was saying not for nothing so much that it didn't mean anything anymore. And it's kind of like, that's the point we've hit with these idols and advantages and stuff. Like, there's so many out there that they're starting to lose meaning because people don't know what's real and what's fake. It's not going to matter for this season. So I know that it's not going to matter for this season with the real and fake idols, because people are going to learn as the season goes on, oh, I have a fake idol. But in future seasons, it's going to matter significantly, because we're at the point where there are three fake production made idols and there is one player made fake idol. So we have four fake idols in the game. All of them have a real piece of parchment attached to them that make it sound like it's
real.
It's a real idol. It won't matter this season because they haven't watched it on TV. But when 45 goes out there, and let's say 45, I mean, it's March 22nd. I'm assuming 45 is leaving soon if they haven't left already. If they're still watching this, they're going out there and they're going, I'm never going to feel comfortable if I have an idol.
Every idol I have is a fake.
And now the idols are losing meaning. They're losing value, which maybe is a good thing. Maybe we're okay with idols losing value. But a real idol sitting on it and holding it like Terry Dietz did back in Panama isn't something you can do anymore, because you might be holding it for the perfect moment. It might not even be real.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm with you. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I like it if it's controlled. If there's you can't have every single player on the season with an advantage. You absolutely cannot. And Matt may never vote, like, in his entire Survivor career, just like Claire may never participate in a challenge. And it's like you said, words don't have meaning. Like Jamie had this confessional where she's like, I want to go get an advantage. And Carson was like, I don't have a survivor experience because I haven't gotten a toy. Like, that's mm-hmm. not what I want to watch. That's just, and I don't blame them whatsoever for having that opinion, because Survivor made them feel that. Like, it just sucks.
And I'm gonna say this, and I'm going to be very sincere with this, and people need to understand why this was so amazing. What Tommy Sheehan did in season 39 will never be replicated. And it could potentially be the most underrated win in the history of the show. And I know that it wasn't to this level yet of idols and chaos and whatever, but to go through an entire season and rely 1000% on your social game and have no advantages and never even go see Boston Rob and Sandra, which was a huge twist in that season.
Yeah, that was great.
And all of that stuff, that is so impressive, and we're never going to see it again. And granted, at this point, it can't really be done. But when Tommy went out there for 39, he just wanted to play Survivor and win. And like you said, Carson saying, oh, it's not even like I haven't even had my experience yet because I don't have my toy. We will never see a winner win again without having the toy, right? Like, it's never going to happen again. And I just think it needs to, when people go back and watch Island of the Idols, whether they like the season or not, it just needs to be like understood how impressive what Tommy did was, because it can't be done again. And go back and watch the purity of that game and understand how far we've come in 5 seasons. I mean, in 5 seasons.
Wow, that was only 5 seasons ago.
Tommy could not play in this season and win the same way he won, because things would be falling out of trees, hitting him in the head, and he'd have no choice but to pick it up and open it up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably never see that again. The Gabler.
Gabler had immunity, though. Tommy didn't even win immunity.
God, that's so funny. Yeah, that's it. I'm okay with, like, at least Gabler won, like winning individual immunity is a very, dare I say, standard thing to try to go for. So good for them.
Yeah.
So what else? Should we go to, there really not a lot happened on Orange at all.
Yeah, so just for those keeping track at home with the fantasy game, the prop bet, Lauren did not have a confessional tonight, which ended her run of a confessional in every episode. And
neither
wow,
did Lexi, Matt.
You already put that in, huh?
Oh yeah, I promise. Look at you. You know,
look at you. Oh man, I'm impressed. But I'm just happy to know we were both taking notes, and neither did. No, Matt had one tonight.
Did he? What'd he say?
He had one at the very end. He was the last one to get a new one. I don't remember what he said.
You're right.
But it was Lauren and Kane. Kane didn't have one.
Kane did not. Yes, which is unfortunate.
So on that tribe, on this Orange tribe, we have now the new person there is Carson, which we talked about. Matthew was talking to Carson. Brandon kind of had a confessional that was kind of a throwaway confessional. And that was it. We're done with Orange. Congratulations, Orange. You're still a tribe. That's all that happened on that tribe tonight. There was nothing else.
Yeah, they get nothing. Except, I don't know how much you related to this. I know I sure did. Lauren gets up to the tippy top at the challenge, and she's like, I don't know if I'm jumping off of this. And I thought, I was like, Phil and I would never, ever even be in this vicinity of this challenge if we had to jump off something like that. And then the slow-mo miss, incredible.
Yeah, I will say that my heights don't bother me if I'm over water, which is really weird. I have this.
Oh, okay.
I have a false illusion with my fear of heights that if I fell on water, it wouldn't kill me. Which is funny because if you're going across the Golden Gate Bridge, you're going to die if you jump.
Yeah.
So I have that false. So I'd be able to do that. I do think that this is interesting. Who was it a couple seasons ago we saw also wasn't able? They literally weren't able to reach it. And it seemed like this was a Lydia. That's who it was. And it seemed like a similar situation with Lauren, like similar heights. Maybe she was scared of the height, but it also seemed like she was just a little too short for it. She probably had to put a little bit more effort into it. I did like that this time, though, she was able to just swim it out, and then Brandon went back. And because Jam Jam couldn't get across the balance beam, thank God Jam Jam didn't get across the balance beam, though.
Oh, my God. I was waiting for something to happen. I was waiting for someone, Ceree, to come falling out of the sky to move him across the balance beam.
It's crazy because production actually keeps Ciri in a boat right next to the challenges whenever there's a balance beam over water, just so that she can pop out to cheer them on if they can't get across.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, JC says that belly flop was rough.
That was amazing.
Brutal. I mean, that's an 8 foot, 10 foot belly flop that she had. That's brutal.
And she looked like, I mean, to go through the props, she looked like she was crying. Would you count that?
I didn't count that because she looked like she was more like choked up and stuff. And she didn't really, I didn't think she was actually crying.
Okay. I feel like I would have been crying, which is what made me think it. But yeah, that was a horrifying belly flop. And you looked at, like, to your point about height, like Brandon and even Franny, who I think I assumed Franny was average height, but if she's walking around with Matt all the time and he's 9 feet tall, that means she's 7 feet tall. Like, she just had to put her arms straight out to catch it. So it probably was a bit of a height thing. One thing I also want to complain about, there was no Matt talk about the new tribes. Josh, okay, pass it up. Like, no conversation whatsoever.
I think the problem with these new tribes is that they're barely new tribes. And I also think that Josh and Jamie aren't going to be long-term players. I think Carson still
know that in the moment.
No, but I think the editors know that to leave out the new tribe.
I see what you're saying.
I'm saying. Like, I think we got so much with the fact that Orange got nothing except for Carson and Matthew and then Brandon talking about how Carson was going to be an issue.
That's everything you need to know.
I think that's what they left it at. And I think with Josh going to tribal and being a focal point, and I just don't think Jamie's going to be long for the game. I really don't. So that's what I have on that. So what do we think about? So Green won the immunity. So there was a reward challenge, first of all, which was nice. Woo. It was nice to see a reward challenge. And they got tarps, which that's always nice. We never see them. We never hear them talk about how good the rewards are anymore for them. We kind of forget they're there. It was always like, if you ever played the Survivor computer game that they released right after the first or second season, they give you like a Snickers bar and you're like, yeah, but I'm not eating the Snickers bar. And my player has the same strength attributes now as they did, because your game doesn't know how to edit for that yet, because it was like 2001. Yeah. So like, that Snickers bar is literally just a picture of a Snickers bar because Snickers sponsored your game. That's what this feels like with the tarps, because they get the tarps and we never hear them talk about the tarps.
Right. And it's like a bit of Survivor's so hard now, they don't eat, but how do we know? They don't show us anything.
Yeah. Like, and we are getting more human moments. We are definitely getting more human moments this season, but we're not getting like those types of tribe experiences of like going through the hardship. I mean, who was the last one to really get like the hardship thing? I always go back to Gabby in 37 because she was having such a hard time and it was a lot with the elements and things like that. Have we really had anybody like in recent seasons who's just been dying because of the elements?
I don't think so. I mean, someone should call Bruce, but I think like overall, but because I think they cast like, oh my God, I keep them here. I keep them doing all the stuff. Maybe that's it. And I also think in general, the elements aren't as crazy as they have been in other seasons. The David vs. Goliath was definitely in Fiji. So I don't know. Yeah, they just aren't really having much of that. I was going to say they're really toning down on the sob stories. I was waiting to hear from Carolyn or Josh or Sarah, but they're not.
I'm not upset about it. I'm really not.
So fine with it.
Yeah, I'm not missing it. And people are saying like Lauren fainted, Cole fainted. I don't mean like that. I'm talking about like,
yeah, we don't care if people faint.
I'm talking about like, oh man, the rain's really getting to me. The elements are bothering me. I wish that we had a tarp. I wish that we had this. I wish that they caught more fish.
Like what Aubrey did at the beginning of Koh Rong.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what we're talking
about. That's more what I mean. And yeah, Gabler was struggling a little bit at the beginning of last season, but I think that was so much of an edit. I mean, I think it was so much of an edit
thing.
I think he was struggling, but I think the editors, again, they could have left that on the cutting room floor if he wasn't going to win, but they wanted that comeback arc. They really wanted that. Like, and by the way, Bryce and Wendell are having Gabler at their Seattle watch party next week.
Real? Oh, well, I guess he lives near there.
Am I flying 8 hours from Miami to Seattle?
You might be. Oh, I didn't realize that. I saw their post like a few hours ago, and they were still special guests to be announced.
Yeah, they had Ricard's going to be there. which is exciting. And I forget, there was one other person, and then it was Gabler, and Gabler was like the off to the side away from everybody else, you know, like as like the selling point of this.
Oh yeah. He's got a little fire.
Who was the other one with Ricard?
Janine. Apparently.
Oh, Janine. That's right.
She'll be there. Yeah. That's so funny. Gabler with the fire next to him.
I love it.
Yeah. I guess like geographically, Seattle's probably the closest there
that
is.
He's going to get from Idaho for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would probably drive there. And I don't know why we're talking about this.
Yeah, no, I just think it's exciting that you can go meet Gabler, Ricard, and Janine if you go to the Seattle watch party. So that's fun. Yeah. So in terms of everything here, the only other thing I wanted to talk about was Sokka wins and Sokka chooses the people who go on the little adventures. Do we think that because only one person is changing and all that, is it okay that the winning tribe is ultimately the one selecting this and everything like that? Or how do we feel about this as a whole? Does it matter? What do you think?
I think it's fine because I don't think they knew. I think it's more annoying that only one person moved. Like, I think to throw back all the way to Marquesas when they did their tri swap and kept their numbers, I thought that was kind of cool. And I feel like that could be an interesting twist on what they do in Modern Survivor. Or twist up to two, swap up to two tribes. The three tribe format is getting a little stale.
Yeah, and you can mix it up a bit. Somebody, Mr. Manny 620, why did they pick Josh when they wanted him gone? It felt almost like an Africa thing, right? Where it was like they're sending the guy who they don't really care, just let him go. But right. In this era,
he might lose his vote.
Yeah, but he might lose his vote, but you know there's such a chance he's going to get an advantage too. Like, I would never let the person I want voted out of the game go away.
Right. Yeah, and I know no one's going to say this, but when you send someone to these islands, they either return without a vote or with an advantage. And there's truly no other option in this.
Now, here's a fun one. John just put this. This twist would be better if they do it again next week.
I love that.
I love that.
Classic idea.
I love that. And I would say in that situation, don't give anybody idols. Because then if you go the first, like let's say after episode one, now we're down to 17 people, or in this case, 16, because Bruce hit his head. But we're down to 16 people. And everybody goes and they go on their walk and it's like, you know, a merry-go-round. And then the next week when they go, everybody's thinking, okay, it won't be that again. And they go and it's the exact same thing. All of a sudden, it starts to become a little bit more fair for the people who are getting screwed one at a time. And it is keeping people on their toes a little bit. Production's listening to this. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
It's honestly probably something we'd be pissed about in the moment because we're like, oh, it's so random, whatever. But I do feel that it gives an advantage to now Carson, who looks like he's at a disadvantage. You don't give him an idol, and all of a sudden he now has a way of getting back into an advantage because the next person who comes to his tribe and somebody from that tribe leaves. And like, I just think that's an interesting little merry-go-round idea.
Also make it fair by at the beginning, Jeff saying something cagey about swaps, like swaps are coming back this season, figure out how they're going to look. Like to me, the unfairness is like, we would make that complaint if that just like happened, but it is not unreasonable to ask like the host of the show to like make a cryptic thing, make like a clue about it, you know, like make it fun.
I like season 45 will be the first one in the new era named. It'll be season 45, Survivor 45, Merry-Go-Round Island. And there you go. And now everybody knows, hey, what's going on? We're all moving one at a time. It's like musical chairs Island because they come up with, but I agree with you. Like I'm joking, but I agree with you because it does make sense that if you add in that element and put a little twist on it and let it be known that it could be a thing, there's going to be something different this season. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? Any other props?
No, I don't have. So in terms of props, I did mark Carolyn said I'm Felicia, which was the episode title.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
You already put it in, but Sarah had five or less votes. So she's in the clear. Matthew has now sat out twice, Kane once, Franny once, and Jamie once. And I believe this vote out happened on day 9. So... Mm-hmm. So if this happened on day 9 for anybody who had Sarah, you'll have 4.5 points. She did not go home with an unused advantage because it wasn't a real advantage. So it's not her going home with an unused advantage. She did have a confessional in every episode she was in. So you did get that. But she did not get up to 40, although she got a lot of confessionals. She probably hit 20 and she was only in 4 episodes.
Yeah, that's true. She was there quite a bit, but unfortunately she's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gone. Bye, Sarah. Whose fantasy team was she on? Was she on mine? Probably. She was. Yeah, of course.
Oh, there it is.
Bruce, Sarah, and Maddie. I hardly knew ye.
Yikes.
Meanwhile, you've only lost Helen and Claire and Robert. Robert
is looking good. Matthew, growing Franny, up right Danny, before Jamie, eyes. Kane, Carolyn. That's a good looking fantasy team right there.
He's going to have everything but the winner, and he's still going to somehow lose to one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. But anyway,
I'm trying to think of anything else. I was going to say we are probably going to be predicting this next episode Monday after standard work hours, possibly with an exciting guest. We're trying to just plan some things out still. So hopefully we'll be back then. But we definitely need to do our patron podcast for those of you who are patrons. So Phil, that's a reminder for us to talk. Phil, when are you doing after show?
I'll do it tomorrow, and I'm going to mention the Survivor chessboard because people have been talking about it a little bit. And I'm just going to talk about that a little bit on there. I definitely want to talk about that a little because I think it's been overlooked, but people are kind of curious about it. So just give a little bit of thoughts on that. So I'll be doing that for the $20 patrons tomorrow. And I'm definitely going to be talking about Carolyn and all these fake idols. So that's your hook, everybody. But I'll be doing it in the morning when it's a little bit clearer in my head and I can read a little bit of stuff, even though I won't wait that much. But I won't read that much. Sorry. But yeah, become a patron. Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. That's the important stuff.
Become a patron. Tune into John and McKenna doing Survivor Rewind. Tune into Phil and John talking about movies, according to my StreamYard account.
Yeah, we're going tonight.
Right after this. Yes, like and subscribe, become a patron, patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. Hope all the $20 patrons who are participating in the fantasy game and power rankings game are doing well. There's definitely less participants than usual in the power rankings game, so definitely good for everyone's winning chances. And yeah, stay tuned. We'll be back probably Monday evening, and go Canes Friday night.
Go Canes, baby. Yeah, they're going to play Friday and Sunday, which is why we can't podcast Sunday, because we're going to be too busy watching. That's right. Uh-huh. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Bye, everyone.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.